All right, I'm going to ask you to turn with me this morning, please, into 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read our text verse and then other verses from this same chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read in verse number 3, where Paul said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." A lot of folks just want it to be a highway express to heaven. Rest stops all along the way and places of entertainment. They want everything to go smooth, life always to run just exactly right. No kind of disappointments, no kind of fights, fears, difficulties. But that's not the kind of world we live in. Because man is a fallen creature. And because man is fallen, he's given himself to sinful living. And sinful living produces difficulties and hardships. The curse of God is upon this world because of man's wickedness. Still on us, still here. It's not going to get any better. It's just going to continue to get worse because evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We hadn't got to heaven yet. I don't know why in the world some people think things ought to be better now. It don't work that way. It's not going to work that way. I don't care if you get everything you want in this world. It is not going to work that way for you. We're going to have difficulties all the way till we finally enter into the presence of our great God as believers. And I'm talking to you mainly who are profess yourselves to be believers in Christ. And so we've got to endure hardness. You say, "God's disappointed me." No, He hadn't. You've disappointed yourself. We all disappoint ourselves. God told us to endure hardness. He's not bringing something on you that you shouldn't have already been expecting. He said, "In the last days, perilous times will come." He didn't say it's going to get better. He said it's going to get more dangerous, more difficult. Throughout the pages of this world, we're warned of all types of terrorism that the people of God are going to have to face. He said, "Endure hardness," He said, "as good soldiers of Jesus Christ." That's what we are. If we are indeed called of God to holiness, we are called of God to make war against sin and against all forms of evil in this world. So that's what I'm expecting. When I get out of bed in the morning, I'm going to be looking for it. The adversary is somewhere close by. And he's going to come at me in some way. And especially if I seek to live a life of truth and holiness in this world and land that is hostile to both. And so we can expect it. I'm already expecting it. I'm not surprised by it. I knew it was coming. God said it was coming. So we're right smack dab in the middle of it. And so may God help me to fight the good fight of faith. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Lay hold on eternal life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Live under the authority and lordship of Jesus Christ. Because I'm one of His kingdom people. And so I've got to do that. As a child of God, God expects me to do it on a daily basis. And I'm not to throw the towel in. And I'm not to give up and quit. And stop praying and stop preaching and stop living for God in this day and hour. He said, "Keep doing what you're doing. And apply yourself to do it better. Put your whole heart into it and live for me." And He said, "One day I'll make it worth your while." But He said, "You ought to do it because it's your duty to do it, but at the same time, you ought to delight in doing it." Jesus said, "Well, I was in this world, I delighted in doing my Father's will." He said, "That's the kind of spirit and attitude I want you to have." He said, "Follow me, follow in my footsteps. I've left you a good example. Now follow me," He says. And that's what we are to do. The Christ life is the Christian life. And until we are living the Christ life, we're not living the Christian life. And so again, let me say to you, you got to be a Christian in order to live the Christian life. God has to call you from your uncleanness to a life of holiness and equip you and enable you every step of the way to live for Him, to honor Him, and to glorify Him. So stop expecting things to get better, because they're not going to do it. We get in the sweet by and by later, but right now we got to live in the nasty now and now, as some people have said. God hadn't promised any more than that. Right here in this world, we're going to expect. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Don't you believe God? Don't you believe what He said? In the world you're going to have tribulation. But He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so we're on the winning side, amen? We're going to come out on the winning end of this thing if we are indeed followers of Christ, if we are indeed God's children. I am not going to sit down and feel sorry for myself in this day. I want to sit down and give God glory, and then I want to get up and give Him glory and honor Him. I want to read some more scripture. Look at verse 15. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. That's what we are. We're not a lazy, sorry, no-count bunch of folks. We're a workman. Especially the men of God are to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. We haven't got nothing to be ashamed of as long as we're walking with God and obeying God. Needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We go into the word of God to find the help that we need. And we got to rightly divide it. We got to take it in the context, in the proper context. Don't give it that demonic twist. That ain't going to help you one bit. It's just going to make matters worse for you. Take it like it is, the pure, unadulterated word of God, and it'll help you along your pilgrim journey. That's one reason a lot of folks can't make it in the day and hour, because they're not going to the Scriptures to become better equipped for what they've got, the situation that's come up in their lives. Again, God's not the one being unfaithful. We are. We can't handle things unless we're obeying God, walking in obedience to God. Then we can handle anything the devil and the world throws at us, because we're kingdom people. God takes notice. Look at verse 16. He said, but shun profane and vain babblings, worthless talks, and a whole lot of it's coming across pulpits. He said, shun it. He didn't say embrace it. He didn't say if it makes you feel good, then it must be good. It must be coming from God. Everything that feels good is not good. If it's not right, it's not good. And if it's not biblical, it's not right. So we take what thus saith the Lord. But shun the rest. Study the Word of God, he said in verse 15, so you'll know what it is. Look at that which is truth, and study the truth, and lay hold of the truth, and let it lay hold of you, and then you'll know what to shun. You know what to embrace, you know what to shun, and what you embrace will help you to live the godly Christian life. I'm not wasting time, folks. I feel like we need to look at these Scriptures as we read them to you. But shun profane and vain babblings, worthless talk, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word, this kind of word, this useless stuff that's being preached and taught, that they're calling truth, but it's not truth. Their word will eat, as doeth a canker. That is, it'll spread like a cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? He named two of these people, these false preachers and false teachers, who concerning the truth, they have erred, they've strayed. They're not staying biblical, saying that the resurrection has passed already. And what does that do? Said it overthrows the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now watch verses 20 and 21. But in a great house, he's given us an illustration, an example here. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. A of clay, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge or cleanse himself from these vain babblings, worthless talk, and this word, this useless word that's being spread like a cancer, and from all this iniquity that people are holding on to, he said, depart from that if you name the name of Christ. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet or useful for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I want to preach for a while this morning on this thought. Downgrading truth. Downplaying truth. Intentionally understanding or understating to lessen the value of truth. Minimizing truth. When you and I minimize truth, when we take this book and we don't take it serious, we're going to get into all kind of trouble. We're going to find ourselves somewhere trying to take a detour to get to heaven. And on all of those detours, there is nothing, friends, but trouble. There are ruts in the road. We're going to find ourselves shipwrecked right quick as professing believers. If we are the people of God, dear friends, it is absolutely vital that we follow the game plan that God has laid down in this Bible. We ought to be Bible people. We ought to be kingdom people. We are to follow the instruction book that God has written for us, and He has preserved for us. He's kept it pure for us right here in this blessed old book, and we are to pattern our lives after what God commands and demands and requires of us, as we see in the Holy Scriptures. Now, if we don't do that, we get in trouble. When I was a kid living at home, when I didn't obey my parents, I right quickly got into some serious trouble. I mean, I'd find myself in a mess. And fear would strike me because I'd begin to think, what if my dad finds out about it? I mean, I'd get involved in things, friends, that would bring a shame and a disgrace to the McElroy name. And I knew that my daddy wouldn't put up with it. And my dad had the longest arm in Troop County. He had reached way back into Heard County with that belt and come across, and he'd tear me from limb to limb because he cared about me, and he would not tolerate, he wouldn't put up with breaking the rules. And God said, as many as I love, He said, I'll chasten you, I'll child train you. He said, I'll do whatever is necessary to get you back on course again. Because we belong to God, and God is not going to put up with daily disobedience in our lives. If you name the name of Christ, He said, depart from iniquity. He said, get away from it. Depart from falsehood, from lies. Embrace the truth. Take the holy truth of God and put it into action in your daily life, the way you live, the way you act. He said, put it in your life, in your daily life. This is the kind of life that God wants His people to live. I preached all this past week, Monday night through Friday night, on the proper conduct of the believer. God cares about the way we live. We name the name of Christ. We're His people. And friends, we represent Him in this world. Oh, what if Jesus sat at the right hand of God and represented us at the right hand of God the way we represent Him in this world? Wouldn't we be in a mess? What a sorry shape we'd all be in. I'm glad, brother, that our God don't act like we do, but He calls on us to act like He acts and to behave ourselves as He would have us to behave. He said, follow me and let me show you how to live and imitate me. That's God's desire for every single one of us who are indeed the people of God. Before I speak, you've heard the saying, you ought to think before you speak. I wish all of us had learned that. Think before you open your mouth. Somebody may look at you and think, boy, that person's got a stupid look on the mouth. Then you open your mouth and they say, well, he is stupid. Ain't no wonder he's got a stupid look. We ought to be careful about how we talk. We ought to ask God, Holy Ghost, He lives on the inside of us. He's that perpetual resident. He's always in us. Excuse me, I've been preaching about it all week. I can't get away from it. He is always with us. We ought to ask Him, God, help me. Help me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I got to give account to God one day for every idle word. I think I ought to think about that before I open my big mouth. And friend, before I act, I ought to think very carefully about what I'm about to do. I'm telling you again, dear church family, God cares about how we live. He cares about how we behave. He cares about the way we talk. He cares everything about us. We belong to God. When my four children were at home, before they left the house, I wanted to look them over and make sure that they were dressed properly. Make sure that they were clean. Their hair was combed. Make sure. I wanted to make sure because they're about to go out of our house and they're about to represent the McElroy house. Now, friend, don't you think for one moment God don't care, that He just leaves it up to us, because that's not the case. God is concerned about you and I. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That means imitate Him. Imitate God. Behave yourself the way that God, while Christ was on this earth, behave yourself like He behaved Himself while He was here. Act and react and respond like the Lord Jesus Christ. We call ourselves believers. We call ourselves disciples of the Lord. We call ourselves Christians. But are we? Or is that being lived out in our lives? You might also title our study this morning, The Rejection of Truth in the Believer's Life. The rejection of truth, that's what's happening to us when we get out here and start wobbling on the axle. We're not thinking right, we're not talking right, we're not behaving right, we are not well representing our God. It's because we have rejected truth, and we've embraced a lie, and we're doing things contrary to the Scripture. This is our instruction book, it's still our instruction book. We don't make this up as we go. We don't make up our own rules. We don't live now in self-autonomy or self-rule. We live under the rule, the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. And that's not just a word. That's not an empty word. It states a position. It defines our Lord's proper position for each one of our lives. He is to be the Lord of this church. He is to be the Lord of our lives. When the Holy Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, He came in the fiery tongues, flaming fiery tongues, and He sat upon each of those believers as if to take a position, to take a place of authority. He sat upon the throne of the church and the throne of each individual believer to rule and to reign in us. And I'm not sovereign and you're not sovereign. God is. I'm not calling the shots and you're not calling the shots. God is. There's a fellow, Jerry Bridges, came out with a book. The name of his book is Respectable Sins. Respectable Sins. He addresses those subtle sins that we as believers often commit. And yet we consider them really not so bad. You know, they're a little bit more acceptable and respectable when we compare those particular sins to the obvious sins that all of society looks down on. And so when we're preaching such a message as this, this is a real good time for me and for you, for every single one of us who call ourselves a believer. This is a good time to take inventory and be honest with ourselves and look to the inside and see if there is something that is offensive to God that really we don't see it to be so bad. Respectable sins. We don't color them black. Maybe a little bit dingy gray, but it's really not so bad. And we put up with it. And we ain't got enough sense to know that it's like a cancer on the inside of us and it's eating away. It's destroying our spirituality. It comes between us and our God and hinders our prayer life. It takes the fire out of us and the passion and the fervor for living the Christian life. It destroys us. We become so backslidden, so cold, and so indifferent. And they can't nobody get along with us. We ain't worth a dime. We're useless when it comes to the things of God. Years ago, somebody, and I don't even remember who it was. I thought it was Brother Al Hayes for a long time, but he said it wasn't him. Somebody told me they had a dog, and they named it Useless. I know a lot of people ought to change their name to that. They ain't worth a dime. They don't ever count. They don't count for nothing. They don't put forth any kind of effort to properly serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't ask them to pray for me. No need to. They're useless because they don't apply themselves. Folks, God help this poor old world. But right now, Jesus has gone back to heaven. And if I hope you'll understand what I'm fixing to say, we're all the world's got now. It's up to us. It's our turn. Amen. To show this world what Christianity is all about. To live the life that they need to see. That there is a power that God Himself makes available to an ordinary man and an ordinary woman and enables them to surmount every obstacle that the devil in the world throws at them, that causes them to live right, to walk right, to be honest, to be a decent person, a godly person, a person full of the Holy Ghost and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, that can happen in your life. It can happen in my life, but it will not happen apart from full surrender. Regaining some ground that you've lost in your life. You've been in a perpetual warfare. You ought not get your brains beat out every single day. You ought to win some of those battles along the way. And you will if you'll avail yourself of everything that God's made available to you to fight the good fight of faith. We make our own selves sick spiritually by trying to live malnourished, not staying in the Word of God, holding our own nose to the grindstone. And I tell you what we do. We get some backslid, so carnal and cold that we sit back and we see everybody else and how wicked everybody else is and how sorry church folk are and how lazy and no good and they're always hurting my feelings and all this kind of stuff, but they don't see their own wickedness, their own carnality. It's your own sins that's destroying you. It's your own sins that's eating away at you. I'm supposed to see the doctor tomorrow, a urologist, and hopefully he's got all his tests back and he'll tell me about the cancer and if it's spread and all this kind of stuff. Wouldn't I be a fool? He told me, he said, I'm going to have to cut it out. I said, all right. Wouldn't I be a fool if I said to him, Doc, why don't you just put a Band-Aid on it? And let's not worry about it. I'm just going to forget about it and act like it ain't even in there. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it, Brother Doug? And immature. That ain't the way you face the things that are going on in your life. And friends, we can't do sin that way. Let's stop putting labels on them. And let's see every single sin as it is. You know what it is? It's an offense. It's offensive to a holy God. It's destructive to us. Is there any wonder our homes are in shambles? And I'm not talking about the homes of the people out yonder in the world. You expect stuff like that. I'm talking about the homes of people in church houses. In shambles, torn to pieces. It's not holiness that tears up homes. It's carnality and wickedness that tears them up. It's not holiness and godliness and righteousness that messes you and me up and keeps us all tore all to pieces and frustrated and full of fear and carnality. Friend, it's our sins that do that. As soon as I get in that kind of shape, I can come sit down in the house of God and I feel so out of place, it's unreal. Sit down in my study, I feel totally out of place. Because I know things ain't right in here. Get down to pray, try to pray. Best I can do is form and mechanical. That's about it. You just don't go nowhere. I get down on my knees and try to act like, see, I put a Band-Aid on it, so I just try to act like it's not really there. Get down on my knees. You know what happens immediately when I look up? There that thing comes up between me and God, and I see it, and I know it's there. And I'm convicted. You know why I'm convicted? Because He has given to me, I'm a partaker of His divine nature. The Holy Ghost is in me. And He calls my attention to it. You got to get this right, son. You got to confess this and get it right. On this social media stuff, you got all kind of people. Somebody says something about the problems that's going on in their lives or sicknesses or whatever. And you got somebody who just posted a cuss word or nearly cussed out loud because of something that's going on in the world. And then they turn around and tell that person that's talking about their problem and say, I'll be praying for you. That ain't nothing short of hypocrisy. And that in itself is offensive to God. There ain't but one way I'm going to get help with God, and that's when I face the truth about me. When I stop arguing with God. He gave that law that every mouth should be stopped. Stop arguing with God and stop making excuses. I got a reason, Brother Tommy, to carry a chip on my shoulder. I got a reason to be mad at the world. I got a reason to go around sucking my thumb. It's because of the way everybody been treating me. You ain't been treated nearly as bad as you deserve. And I hadn't either. We deserve a whole lot worse. God hadn't thrown you in hell yet. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. I'm glad Jonathan, my boy's here. And Jennifer, I wish Kathy and David were here. I've been praying. I've been praying, God, I want to thank you that some of my children are saved. I want to thank you that some of my grandchildren are saved. And God, I also want to thank you that they who are not saved are not in hell yet. Amen. Our only hope today is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't live the Christian life till God makes you one. You cannot live the life of a believer until God gives you faith and gives you repentance and enables you to turn from your sin and embrace Him. But I want to tell you right now, friends, if you think that that's the end when you come to Christ, that's the end of it, I've done that, now I'm going to get out here and party till the Lord comes after me. You can forget it. That's not Christianity. It's not salvation. Salvation is when God saves us from our sins. And when He saves us from our sins, He begins to deal differently with us because we are His children. Amen. I've learned some things about Jonathan and David that they got into when they were young'uns. If I'd have known it then, I'd have beat the daylights out of them. Amen. If I'd have known where they were and what they were doing, I'd have went after them. Hey, church, God does know where we are. He does know what we're doing. We are always under the watchful eye of God because He loves His children 10,000 times, 10,000 times more than you and I could ever love ours. And He loves us enough not to compromise with us. See, there are all kinds of child abuse, forms of child abuse. And one form of child abuse is just letting your young'un run wild. But God has told us there are consequences for disobedience. He said, I'm going to take you to heaven. You belong to me, I'm going to take you to heaven. I may have to beat the daylights out of you every day till you get there, but He said, I'll do whatever I got to do. We ain't going to change Him or stop Him from being God. That's the kind of God He is. He's a holy God. At Bridges, Jerry Bridges, I was talking about, wrote that book, Respectable Sins. He said, those of us whom I call conservative evangelicals may have become so preoccupied with some of the major sins of society around us that we've lost sight of the need to deal with our own refined or subtle sins. Those little sins that we hold on to and we've taken them. It kind of reminds me of a little boy's out playing in the dirt. And they come in the house and they got dirt all over the face. And mama just takes a little washcloth and kind of washes it off. Or says to the young'un, go on yonder and wash your face. And you kind of hit at it a little bit. And we kind of got the idea that, you know, that's the way we want to treat those little subtle indiscrepancies and those things that we don't see to be. I mean, it ain't adultery, Brother Tommy, and it ain't pornography, Brother Tommy, and I didn't kill anybody, Brother Tommy, and it's not stealing, it's not these things, Brother Tommy. It's just a little boy with just a little dirty face, and so we keep trying to keep a little of the dirt cleaned off instead of getting rid of that thing. Let me tell you how sensitive the Lord Jesus was about it. He said, I command you, if you've got an eye that offends you, pluck it out. Pull it out. You got a hand that offends you, cut it off. You got a foot that offends you, cut it off. And He said to those lost people, He said, it'd be better for you to lose your eye, your hand, or your foot than it would be for the whole man to be cast into hell where the fire's never quenched and the worm don't ever die. But there was another time, one of the other gospel writers said that He said it this way. How about that right eye, that right hand, right foot? You see, the right, I think, speaks more of those darling sins. That thing, that sin that's a little bit closer to you. Lord, I'll give this up, and I'll give that up, and I'll give that, but I'm going to hang on to this. This is my pacifier. Don't take my sucker away from me. Did y'all ever find Livy Silky? Never did find it. That's all right, ain't it? About time for her to give it up. Yeah, it's about time for her to give it. She's growing up, Jennifer. She had that little blanket that, you know, that comfort blanket or whatever they call it, and called it her Silky, and she had to have it. When she went to bed at night, she had to have it. She'd get up in the morning, she wanted it there. And if it wasn't there, it upset the whole Pike house and the McElroy house since they've moved out by us. She had to have it. The going to give it up. We had a terrible wreck. A fire truck pulled out in front of us. Susie and I and our four children. Was it Jonathan sitting in your lap? Jonathan and David sitting here back yonder when you didn't have to have seat belts. And we had to hit the ditch, and I mean it was like that. It was a deep ditch. We landed just like that. And we got out. Susie was able to hold on to those kids. And none of us were hurt. We got out, got in my mom and dad, the 911 called dad. They come got us. We went home. Oh, my, we left Jonathan's pacifier. Jonathan's pacifier. He was finally able to give that thing up about 2 weeks ago. Didn't I? Am I remembering right? I had to go back out that night, didn't I? I had to go to the grocery store late that night to find him one. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks get real ill while you're preaching if you get on that pacifier. If you get on that little silky, that comfort blanket, they get real ill at you, brother. But great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If the word of God don't ever come near to where you live while it's being preached, there's something wrong with you. Because I know good and well none of us are fully sanctified yet. We haven't got there yet. You're ignoring a truth about yourself. You're putting a Band-Aid on it. But you're not going to get nowhere like that. Is this too hard for you? Too straight for you? We need revival. We need help. Our only hope is to get it right. Walk right. Live right. We belong to God. He ain't going to leave you alone. He is not going to leave you alone. If God don't punish us in this life, it's because He intends to punish us throughout eternity. He loves His people. He wants us to be right. Live right. Honor Him. I got about the first four lines of about an 18-page outline. First four lines, not four pages, four lines. There are four sins in particular, if God will let me come back to it, that I want to call your attention to that people don't look at them so bad no more. But it's killing us. All four of them are killing us. And if God will help us, we'll take a look at them and see if we're guilty of them. We probably all are or have been at some point. We'll be probably this next week. But these need to be dealt with because God sees them as being exceeding sinful. And they are offensive to the highest dignity in all the universe, God Almighty. And we got to get them right. Nobody here, nobody outside this church has any grounds to brag. We just don't. We don't. We need to take a good, close look in the mirror of God's Word, and we'll see ourselves as a very needy people. Amen? All right. We're going to stop.